Surprise. Well, the deacons give me a break once in a while in preaching, and so I like to give Father Brian a break in preaching once in a while. A happy Feast of the Ascension once again, and this penultimate Sunday of the Easter season. Next week, we close out the Easter season with a bang, with the solemnity of Pentecost. And that sending of the Holy Spirit we celebrate next weekend is the fruit of what we celebrate this very day, the ascension of Jesus into heaven. And remember that the ascension is not to be seen as Jesus abandoning us in any way, but the ascension is the catalyst by which God, the Holy Spirit, is unleashed upon the world, thereby allowing the very Spirit of God Almighty to enter into the hearts of every believer. A more intimate union than if Jesus continued to walk the face of the earth. And so, among many other gifts, the Holy Spirit infuses into our lives three things I want to mention. We heard them in the first reading. Three things: hope, number one; number two, God's glory; and number three, God's power. So do you sense those three things in your own life? The Holy Spirit giving you hope, glory, and power. Because God wants you to have them. Do you experience great hope in your life no matter what struggles you might be going through? Do you marvel at God's glory? Do you possess a divine power in your life that you know is beyond your own natural human power? We all desire that in some level. That's why we're so obsessed with these superheroes. All right? So if you don't have those, ask for them in these 8 days between the ascension, the time between the ascension and Pentecost, those 8 days. We have a God who desires for you to know these things. Each of us can receive those gifts in greater measure. You know, it happened to me just recently. I came back from this Friday from visiting my birth mother, whose health had taken a downward turn. Thank goodness she is recovering. But many of you heard about the story about my birth mother that I shared 3 Sundays ago about how there was great healing in our relationship as a result of the wonderful healing work that the Lord accomplished in me during my retreat last month, when the divine physician did a different kind of heart surgery. And it was the healing that the Holy Spirit did in me that, for example, allowed me to receive her love in greater measure. You see, her love for me didn't change, the degree of that love, but it was my capacity to receive her love that changed. That capacity grew larger because the Holy Spirit ministered to the wound that kept me from receiving its fullness. And so it is with the love of God in our life. It's not that we have a stingy God who's kind of just sprinkling a little love here and a little love there. No, God's love is non-cease. He never ceases offering a torrent of love to us. But it's our individual capacity to receive the fullness of that love that changes. It grows larger when we allow more of the Holy Spirit to heal our wounds. See, when the Spirit of God heals our souls, He restores our hope. Right? Let me repeat that. When you and I invite the Spirit of truth to heal our souls, allowing Him to speak truth to the lies that we believed about ourselves, He restores our hope and our identity. And with that, our capacity to receive more of the abundant life God desires for us. That's what hope does. And when we allow that hope to be integrated into our lives, knowing that all our present suffering and struggles are passing, we're then emboldened to live our lives in our God-given calling with greater confidence and generosity, so that we can live lives in a society where we give instead of always looking to take. That's what happened with the first disciples, right? We just heard in the readings, in those last precious moments they had with Jesus, just before He ascended into heaven, He told them, "Behold, I am sending you the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And by golly, that's what happened. That divine power allowed them to overcome their own fears, and they boldly fulfilled the Lord's great commission. So much so that you and I here today in St. John Church in Jackson, Michigan, are the ripple effects of that initial proclamation 2 millennia ago. And those effects will continue until the consummation of history, because the Holy Spirit is now at work in us to perpetuate that gospel proclamation. Our world desperately needs that hope that only Jesus can give, in place of the despair, the division, the chaos around us. But in a world in which many in power, whether in politics or entertainment or business or academia, are often trying to silence or falsify the gospel, we need to fortify ourselves in the Holy Spirit, praying for the boldness of the original disciples and for more laborers in the harvest. We've been praying this whole year of prayer that we might, you and I, might be the very laborers for that harvest, for each and every one of us to be missionary disciples whose transformed lives are the living witness to the good news of Jesus Christ at work. Since we're welcoming our new seminarian, Brian 2.0, here for the summer this weekend, I also thought this would be a good time to encourage us to pray specifically for more priestly laborers, as well as to update you on a couple of recent developments in our diocese that will undoubtedly affect us here in our parish in some way. We don't know how yet. The bishop has announced 3 new committees to meet our challenges as a whole diocese and as individual parishes in fulfilling this work of God's kingdom. One of them is a committee on promoting vocations. Another is one on the sacramental life of the church, specifically our Sunday experience. And then third, which is the one I'd like to focus on, called the realignment of our resources to mission. It asks the fundamental question, how do we most effectively employ the resources at our disposal for the work of mission, the Great Commission that Jesus gives us on this Ascension Day, of going out and telling the good news to all the nations? And for the Diocese of Lansing, how do we specifically do that for the people throughout South Central Michigan? Not just the Catholics, but the non-Catholics and Catholics alike. One of those key questions is how do we most effectively deploy the priests who lead those efforts in our communities? There are some stark realities coming our way with regards to priestly vocations. We have about 150 priests living in the Diocese of Lansing. But here's the thing. Over 1/3 of them are already of retirement age. In fact, we currently have only about 82 priests working full-time in our 73 parishes. On top of that, because our priestly ordinations each year have not kept pace with the number of priests who are retiring each year, we will potentially have a net loss of about 18 priests in the next 4 years alone. That means, even with the 10 men getting ordained in these next 4 years, we will have a projected 65 priests under 65 years old who will be working full-time to serve our 73 parishes, compared to the 82 full-time priests who are serving them today. So this decrease in the number of priests probably means in the coming years there will be some kind of realignment of our parishes. As you know, we have 2 other parishes just within 2 miles of each other, a blessing that many areas in our diocese do not have. You also know that we here at St. John, unlike many other parishes in the diocese, is not only holding steady, but our parish life is thriving thanks to your response of dynamically living out our faith and reaching out to those around you that has attracted new disciples. Our numbers that come into at Easter Vigil, into the church, are among the highest in the diocese. But the other key to keeping parishes open and healthy is their sustainability. Whether or not individual parishes in the diocese retain their autonomy as a parish or be combined with another parish will be based not only on its number of parishioners, but on the financial support of those parishioners to maintain its operations and facilities. So we hope you can see why in this over this last month we've really been emphasizing the importance of our 541 generosity challenge in support of our Sunday offertory for the five, and then the one for our diocesan services appeal. Two key indicators of a parish's sustainability in the long run. So thank you so much to the well over 300 300 households who have participated in both areas, but we still have over a third of our active church-going households still left to respond. Sometimes we, you know, are slow to pledge our support because simply because of the busyness of life. Even our principal, Christy Blair, said this to me this past week that I can use her as an example. She's been wanting to turn in her pledge card since day one that we introduced the generosity challenge, but it keeps getting away from her week after week because of how busy life gets. But then she heard that this is going to be the last week. Our finance manager, is working on next year's budget. And so she turned it in right away because the time is now if we have not yet participated. Some of our parishioners have also mentioned that there were a number of folks gone for Memorial Day weekend, so it would be good to repeat the good news to those who missed it of the Trinity Foundation offering us a huge incentive to finish strong. They will be offering us a $100,000 new evangelization grant if our parishioners pledge at least the same amount for our Sunday offertory this year. As in this past year, maintaining the status quo, right? Because knowing that, we can invest in some of the new initiatives. That grant will allow us to fill the hole in our parish leadership team and bring our online presence and outreach to the next level, among other things, right? The bishop mentioned at the most recent gathering of priests of the diocese in January that a parish shouldn't be its own parish if it can't afford its own administrator, particularly when the pastors will be even more stretched than they are now. They cannot be expected to adequately provide the sacraments and be the primary administrator of the parish. Both roles are more than full-time positions in themselves. Andy Beale of recent memory was ours, but we have not filled that position because our current budget does not allow for it. Our current Sunday offertory, right? So the grant would help us to fill that role, but even more importantly for the long run is this needed increase in our Sunday offertory. To reach this year's goal at the current average pledge of $49 per week, we would need 500 households to turn in their pledge. And as you can see from this Sunday's bulletin, 312 of those 500 active households have been turned in. So in gratitude for those who have participated, those 312 parish households are listed on page 4 through 6, with no pledge amounts, of course, in our bulletin this Sunday. Now, no amounts because that's not the important thing, whether people's annual income is large or small. The key is everyone contributing their part in the work of God's kingdom here in Jackson. We will be updating that list later this month, hopefully listing at least 500 households who will be the ones together as the St. John Parish family that will reach our goal and show our diocese that we can hold our own. I sincerely believe in St. John being that parish of missionary disciples charged to fulfill here in Jackson the Great Commission that Christ has given his church, as it has since before the Civil War. But it will take more than just my belief and support. It will take each and every one of yours. Everyone contributing their time, their talent, and their treasure. So I encourage those parishioners who have yet to turn in their pledge to do so in today's collection. There are extra pledge cards at the end of the pew. Let's also take the time in these few moments of silence to pray more earnestly for priestly vocations for our diocese, perhaps calling to mind someone you can envision being a good priest and asking them if they have considered the priesthood. Right? And this feast of the, doesn't matter if they're dating anybody, right? Father Brian and I were. Brian was dating a couple of gals before entering seminary. Not at the same time, but so. But in this feast of the Ascension, the Lord entrusts us with his mission, clergy and lay alike. So let's prove worthy of that trust.